Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
It might only be two of us tonight, but it's probably two of the best. It's me and Chris here for episode 57 of the Premier Non-League Podcast. Well, Chris, it's only you and me. We look like we've been hit by injuries and suspensions this evening, don't we? I think Gaz has had his internet suspended and James is just, well, James, and I think Pete's suffering with a bad back, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not too grand, so I'm sure we'll hold the fort. I'm sure we'll be okay.
I'm sure we will. We're going to go straight into it this evening. We're not going to mess around as there's only two of us. And no better place to start than the FA Cup, which takes place again this weekend with the second round. And I'm delighted to welcome our special guest this evening, Aldershot Town's assistant manager, Hugo Langton. Hugo, welcome to the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Thank you for having me, guys. Good to be here. Hope you're both well.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Hugo. Good. Great to have you on. Obviously, we've known each other for probably three, four years, maybe a bit longer than that.
Something like that. Feels longer, Chet.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. We always crop up at games somewhere, don't we? Somewhere along the line, if you're not in work or I'm traipsing around somewhere. But obviously, you've been at Aldershot since just before the back end of last season. You've got your FA Cup second round game against Stockport this coming Sunday. Thought a really good time to actually have you on. Your National League form's brilliant at the moment. What are you looking forward to for the weekend game? Obviously, Stockport going really well in, you know, League Two as well, but you know yourselves are on a good run too.
Well, first and foremost, let's, you know, remember that Stockport are bang in form. I know they lost at the weekend at Newport, but everyone has a little blip here and there. But look, when I was at King's Inn a few years ago, we played them, and I remember the manager telling us like what their plan and their expectation was over the, you know, the next 4 or 5 years, and it's huge, you know. And I know the infrastructure of the club's excellent. We're a brilliantly run club, full of really, really good players. So, but we know what the task in front of it is. It's going to be really, really hard. But hey, listen, it's the FA Cup. We're at home, which is what we wanted. We've just got a really, really tough task in front of us. But you know what? It's one we're going to enjoy. We're going to have a good week on the training ground. And all I can tell you is that I'm confident that we'll put out a team that will give them a game, and what will be. I just hope that the FA Cup gods are smiling down on us.
Well, they certainly were in the first round, weren't they? If I can't cast our minds back to that and the 7-4 win at Swindon, which nobody saw coming. And maybe a tiny bit of gloss taken off at the end with the four goals after you were 7-0 up. But when you've got the luxury to take off all three strikers at 7-0 up... That's something you don't get every Saturday, is it?
I think, no, but you know, at 7-0, we actually went 8-0 up, but Josh Stokes had a goal disallowed that we've seen it back, and it was given as offside, he was onside. But you know, you got to that 60, 65th minute, and like you're thinking ahead to what's coming in the next sort of, I can't remember where we went the following week, but it was like the front three had done their job, so we could make five substitutions. So we made five, and I think four of them were kids. The other one was Kwame Thomas. And we just thought, you know what, let's give the kids a little sample of the experience. We just hoped that Swindon wouldn't score seven goals. but I think it's, you know, the 7-4 isn't a fair reflection of the game. 7-0 was a fair reflection of the game. But I think Tommy Widrington, he said that some idiots, i.e. him and his staff, made the five substitutions. But I think if it was a league game, we wouldn't have done it. But we were in such an unusual position. It was a fantastic position, you know, and it was great to give some of the younger lads, you know, as I said, some experience of that sort of day. which have both done well in the future as well.
Were you actually, you know, were you literally seven goals better than them on the day, Hugo?
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty fair to say that we were. I mean, we were 3-0 up after 9 minutes. And then, as you can imagine, there was a lot of, you know, there was some Swindon pressure on us, you know, but we defended very, very well. And I remember saying to Tommy Withington and Richard Dryden, who's, you know, also in the staff with us, we've just got to get to half time and not concede. Because if you go in at 3-0, it's very different to 3-1. But then we scored a fourth goal before half time, so it was fine, right? So we're 4-0 up. At half time, it's like, well, let's not praise them. If you, the moment you walk into a change room and say, right, well done, is every chance that they take the foot off the pedal. And so we just agreed before we went to speak to the players, look, we've got to keep telling them, just tell them how we can score some more goals. What can we do better? And that's what we did. And we were all thinking as staff, right, we've just got to keep it tight for the next 10 minutes and not concede. But by 10 minutes, we were 6-0 up. So, yeah, it was a really crazy game. And I've never been involved in anything like it in terms of a team that I worked with playing like that. And I doubt I ever will again. But we were just phenomenal. I can't explain it. The front three of Tolage, Stokes and Jack Barham, I'm going to put Kwame Thomas in that bracket as well, because what he does for the team's outstanding. They get a lot of recognition and plaudits, but those guys wouldn't be able to do what they do without the platform that's behind them. You know, I think it's been really very much a team effort.
Was it very much just the game plan went exactly as you've worked on a week in training?
Yeah, we planned to be 3-0 up after 9 minutes. no, look, I mean, when you play those sort of games, you know, you're very wary of, obviously, they're a higher division team, they're at home. But, you know, we didn't prepare any differently to how we would do if it was a National League game. I just think it helped that, you know, we knew where we could hurt Swindon, but we also were wary of where they could hurt us. And the first goal, I think we had the kickoff and they didn't get the ball off us. And I think within 40, 50 seconds, we'd scored. Then they made a mistake very quickly from their kickoff and we scored again. So you find yourself 2-0 up and then it just kind of went on from there, really. It just gives people, I think, the word. It's a word I don't really like, but I'm going to use it. It just gives a bit of confidence that we could win.
Yeah.
So when you're 3-0 up after 10 minutes and you turn to Tommy, what do you say? Do you say, how do we manage this now? Do we sit on the three? Do we go for more?
Well, the thing is with us, not just us as a staff, and that's all of the staff, but also just how we are, is that I think we're the sort of team that if we try and sit on something, teams will hurt us. We have to attack. That's our strength, you know. It's to attack. That's why we win so many games. We've won so many games, not by, like, there's always the other team always score. So we've had 3-2s, 4-2s, 7-4s. You know, they're always like, we had a few 3-2s as well. It's almost like we've got to score. You're going to score, but we're going to score more than you.
Yeah.
We're aware of that. And when we get clean sheets like we did, we've had a couple recently at home against Kidderminster and against Halifax. They're really, really pleasing because we know what we are going forward. And it's something that, like if it's Swindon, 4 of the 7 goals, I see them regularly on our training ground most days. So there was no kind of coincidence that we scored that kind of goal. But we work so hard defensively, you know, and I like to think that, you know, you look at against Halifax and against Kidderminster and even against Bromley, if you take away the first 3 minutes when we were 2-0 down, other than that, I think we're making progress defensively. But we know what we are, we know what we need to get better at. That's what we're going to keep trying to do.
Yeah, I think we'll have to, looking at that Bromley result as well last week, obviously Barnet played on the Wednesday night and everybody's seeing Bromley 2-0 up after 5 minutes and going, wow, that's them in second place. And then your second half comeback was just, again, something, probably you saw the opposite side to what you achieved at Swindon.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was 2-0 after 3 minutes, you know, and I think the key thing was we certainly are, as a staff, we're very, very calm. And we felt that, well, hang on a minute, there's 87 minutes to go. The next goal's crucial. To be fair, Bromley had a really big chance at 2-0 to go 3-0 up, and that might have been different. But we came out in the second half, and if I'm honest with you, I thought we tore them apart. But when you play teams like Bromley, they're very dangerous from from sort of long throws and deep free kicks and set plays, because it's, you know, that's one of their strengths. And so we had to really, really defend our box really, really well at times in the second half. But the moment we went 2-1, there was, you could just feel it on the side and on the pitch that we were going to win the game. And that's what we did. So it was a good game. I think if you were neutral, you would have come our way from there going, wow, what a great game. Absolutely. They're a good side, probably, by the way.
Yeah, very good. I mean,
they're good at what they do.
We played them second game of the season when they were still struggling to find their feet a little bit. And a lot of their supporters were getting on their backs very early and then went on that fantastic 17 game unbeaten run and jumped from second bottom up to third. You know,
yeah, we've got a knack of ending unbeaten runs. So, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know how many Stockport have won away from home at the moment. Maybe
they lost at Newport. They lost at Newport on Saturday, so.
Oh, which isn't great for us, not great for Barnet. We played them this weekend as well. But going back to the FA Cup again, we saw last week actually something we don't see very often, which we do around non-league, but a Football League side getting kicked out of the competition for an ineligible player, which has obviously given Horsham a reprieve again. Obviously, they'd have been preparing to go to Hastings this coming Saturday. Instead, they're now travelling to Sutton United instead. If you were in Dom's shoes, how much difference preparation would you make for a game like that, especially when Sutton's form at the moment is not that great?
Well, look, if I was in Dom's shoes and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to Hastings, and all of a sudden it gets changed, you've got to get yourself together really quickly about what Sutton are, you know, and get as much information as you can about them. I think they would have had time to send someone to watch them on Saturday. I don't know for sure. I don't know exactly how Dom works, but I think it will probably give them all a little bit of a shot in the arm. I mean, it's the FA Cup second round. They'll be able to take a huge... I mean, I used to manage Horsham, and they'll take a huge, huge support to Sutton, and they'll be really, really noisy, the Lardy Army. And again, I think it's one of them games where no one's going to expect him to win. Sutton are like really big, powerful, very direct team. We played them in pre-season.
Yeah.
And they've got some really, really good footballers. They try to come alive in the final third of the pitch. And I think if you're Dom, you've got to realise you've got nothing to lose and just, much the same, just go for it. Because you don't want to, it's an old cliche, you don't want to get to the end of the game and have any kind of ifs, buts and maybes. Just go and have a go at them, and what will be, because all it's going to take is for three or four Sutton players to not be at it, or not to, you know, to be off that day, and all of Dom's players. And he's got some good players there, by the way. But for them all to be at it, then you don't know what can happen. So I know Dom, and I know to an extent Matt Gray and some of his staff. So I'm going to be on the fence on this one. But I suppose from the non-league point of view, it'd be nice to see Horsham. Yeah. I expect his host to manage them and have a good weekend.
It's even more of a free hit than it would have been had they been.
Yeah, I think. Do you know what? Probably, I don't know for sure because I can't speak for Dom and the football club, but I would think just the bonus of having the prize money of the first round, it will make a huge, huge difference because it does. I think it was close to £40,000, wasn't it?
What
you get for the winning the first round. That's a lot of money. All right, it's a lot of money to any football club, certainly outside of the top part of the game. So I'm sure there's a lot that football club can do with the 40 grand and the rest of the money that they've earned from the TV and stuff. And like, I know that football club wants to try and progress a little bit, always has done. So hopefully this will give them an opportunity. Obviously, they've got a new ground. I've never actually been to it, but the new ground and the... They're getting good support, even in league games, not just the cup. And I wish them well, and I hope that, you know, Dom can take them on.
Just before we let you go, Hugo, the TV games this year for non-league have been, I think the coverage has been, you know, really good from, you know, Cray Valley, Sheppey being able to get on. Obviously, Ramsgate will be on Monday evening as well. Are you slightly a little bit disappointed maybe that you weren't chosen for a TV game this time around?
I find it a little bit weird in general that we've only been even in the National League, we've been on the telly once, and there's no immediate plan for us to be on it. Listen, I know I'm biased, But as I said, there's always goals and entertainment in our game. I thought we'd be an ideal candidate to be a bit, little bit more TV coverage. Are we live on not being live on TV? If I'm honest with you, it's by the by to me. I mean, it's good enough, I guess, to match the day of giving us extended highlights. But, you know, I think it's nice that a lot of teams have had the coverage. I didn't understand why Crewe Derby was on, but I guess I'm not the guy who decides. But I'm glad Ramsgate are on. I mean, they've got a tough task going to Wimbledon. If Wimbledon put out their first 11, that'll be hard for Ramsgate. But don't give me Ramsgate the D. They've got players beyond their level, and I know Ben Smith well, and I hope he does really well at the weekend.
Brilliant stuff. Hugo, good luck Sunday and for
thank
the rest
you.
Of the season in the National League.
Apart from when we play Barnet, yeah?
Of course, yeah, the return game. But yeah, thank you very much for coming on the Premier Non-League podcast.
No problem. Hugo. Thanks for having me on, gents, and good luck to South Shields as well.
Thanks very much. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Always good to get a guest on it, Chris, especially if only two of us.
Yeah, thing is, for me, you know, doing the Mariners podcast, Ronnie and I have been doing it just as a pair for the last, well, since 2020. So, because we used to have, originally we had four.
Yeah.
And then we went down to three. And then we're at two. We generally try to get guests now and again. But generally, there's the two of us. So it's a good dynamic. I think you and I, it's a good dynamic, Trev.
Yeah, we'll get going. Right, let's move on then. FA Vars as well this weekend into the last 64, the third round. There's one of the 50 clubs still remaining in Saffron Walden Town and two former winners in Deal and Wickham in it as well. It's getting to the point now, it's starting to get a little bit serious, isn't it? Last 64 and then you're on to the 32 after Christmas.
Yeah. You mentioned Wickham there. I was delighted for them I said in the last podcast, when they beat a side that was, you know, had players from two steps above, we were playing two steps above them last season. So there's a little bit more northeast interest this year. In the last two or three seasons, the northeast contingent has dwindled very rapidly in the early rounds of the competition. But this year, there's a little bit more, which gives it a bit more interest. And I can see a Northeast team. I'm not going to nominate a Northeast team, but I can see a Northeast team going very deep into the competition.
I think as we mentioned the last time we recorded with Newport Pagnell going out and obviously Ascot moving up into step four at the end of the season as well. There's, you know, two new finalists if Deal and Wickham don't make it through. So there's every incentive, isn't there, for all the clubs that are left in it. I think as well, the beauty of the competition as well is you look at it and you think, well, they're not doing too bad this year. Neither are they, but it's just such the luck of the draw. And when it becomes unregionalised, it's messy. Yeah,
it is. And I just think that I think more now more than ever, the FA Vars pound for pound is a better value for money competition than the FA Trophy. The FA Trophy to me is another conversation altogether for various reasons. The FA Vars, for the actual romance and the money that clubs at those levels can make, just makes it a better, for me anyway, a better competition. I looked at, there was a stat that Darren Tinmouth, who's a Shields fan, he's very good with stats.
Yeah,
you know Darren. He mentioned that I think South Shields won something like £41,000 when they won the FA Vars in 2017. Halifax only won about 60 for winning the trophy this year. So if you look at that and you think, really? In six, seven years, you know, there's only a £20,000 differential. You know, it's not great. I just think that the Vars this year, it has more romance than ever before, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Funny enough, actually, I did see something during the week which I'll bring up when we come to the FA Trophy bit, which is is quite an interesting point that someone else had raised on a different, I think, report, I'd said. So I'll bring that up a bit later because I know your thoughts on the trophy with, clubs, even at step two, three and four. But certainly Wembley's getting that a little bit closer. And so, when you get down to the last 32, 1 or 2 weeks after Christmas as well, it really starts to, get that little
bit really closer. Does.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't many ties I could pick out so that's going to be there could be a winner from there, but we've got Farnham Town against Burnham. Jersey Bulls are still in it. There's two or three sides from Sussex are still in as well. You've got Step Six side in Rothie, host North Greenford from down here as well. So, but like I say, he's just so off open, and I think once you get to the other side and down to the last 32 and the last 16, when sides are doing well in the league, that's when you expect them to make their mark, don't you?
You do. I mean, I'm not exactly certain how well Jersey Bulls are doing this season in the league. I haven't really took much notice, but whenever you hear that name, you've got to think, well, they're going to have a reasonable chance. They're always going to be fairly strong, given the support they get.
Third.
Yeah. So, Jersey Bulls, yeah. But then, as I say, the Northern League, the Northeast is a bigger contingent this year that's still in the competition. So it makes for a really, really good competition. It's an exciting one this year.
Yeah, and good luck to all the sides in the FA Vars and those in the FA Cup as well over the course of the weekend. We're going to move on now to a story that I saw in the non-league paper at the weekend. Was at White Ensign in the Essex Senior League, where April Smith became the first female manager in that league to take charge of a game. It's something that we don't see very often in that respect, Chris, of female managers into, the male side. And, we see a lot of male managers managing in the women's side of the game. And, it's something I think that there is that inequality still, between. And when I look at the NFL, when they cut to the sidelines, they have so many assistant coaches and, assistants of assistant coaches and things like that. But there's a lot of female, integration.
Yes.
I think within that sport, is there something that holds us back from doing it over here?
Well, history for a start. Mm. People looking back instead of looking forward.
Yeah.
To me, it's an old cliche, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah.
If you're good enough, doesn't matter what gender you are. If you're good enough, you're good enough. If you look at Emma Hayes, she's just been given the USA job.
Yeah.
If the coaches, and Serena Wiegman has done so well with the England national team, and I know she's foreign, but if you're good enough, you're good enough. It's as simple as that. And I do think that we had Helen Connolly refereeing us the other night at South Shields. Didn't have a great game, but didn't have a bad game. Generally, what I want to see is respect. And if you look at, I know this is a football podcast, but if you look at, in general, sports like rugby league, rugby union, officials are respected. So whenever you see a female refereeing in particular, running the line slightly different, but when you're refereeing, there's automatic respect. So what's to say that you'll get a bit more respect from players with a female manager, providing that she's good enough?
Hmm.
Footballers normally see through management and coaching pretty quickly. And players obviously have a big say, the higher you go in particular. But if a manager is good enough, they're good enough, regardless of what. And it's great to see. The word equality and things like that, words like that, don't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's an irrelevance.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't want that to sound racist or sexist or whatever. If you're good enough, you're good enough.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what colour, what race, because we are the human race at the end of the day. Doesn't matter, whatever. If you're good enough, you're good enough. And it's that in particular is good to see.
And I think as well, when you look at it these days, if I see a male physio run on the pitch, I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, there's a
You
lot
know?
more female. Yeah, absolutely. And you get the calls, ooh, you know, when you see the, you know, an attractive looking female running onto the field, you still get the odd, you know, quote from various supporters. But generally, I would say it's thankfully get it's things like this are getting normalized.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's what it should be. Again, physiotherapists, doesn't matter whether you're male or female, doesn't matter whether you're 21 or 61, if you're good enough, you're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's something that does pick up. And like I say, you know, watching the NFL so often as I do and seeing, you know, so much female integration, you know, on their sidelines, and you think how much of a masculine sport that's considered, you know, and rugby as well. Yeah, hopefully it's the first view. And as you say, if you're good enough, you know, there's no telling where the next one's going to come in.
That's right. And if you look at the officiating side, I can't remember her first name. It, for some reason, it's just slipped. But Michael Oliver's partner, she's maybe sister. Sorry, could be sister. Really great referee. People might disagree, but I just think she's very, very good. And good enough, good enough.
Well, hopefully, we'll see, you know, a few more creeping in over the next few years. But brings us nicely on to managers and disappearing is possibly the polite way of putting it. But I'm not sure how this sits with you, Chris. But during the, I think it was last week, Folkestone dispensed the services of Michael Everett and Roland Edge, sitting 11th in the Isthmian League Premier Division. So not touching the relegation zone, well away from that. I think they were 3 points off the playoffs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm.
just last week, Bridgewater sat in their manager, who take them to second in the Western League. And I can understand a manager going if, you know, there's obviously a disagreement behind the scenes, but normally it's a sacking rather than just, you know, relieved of their duties, so to speak. And when you're tied to second in the league and you're taking them that far, you know, where does it stop that you're actually safe in a job?
It doesn't. It just doesn't stop. South Shields, the case in point. You know, Graham Fenton had South Shields second in the Northern Premier League.
Mm.
And Jeff Thompson relieved him of his duties and brought in Kevin Phillips. There were myriad reasons behind that. One, Graham's conduct on the sidelines was pretty angry and aggressive, and which was totally different to what he was like when he was joint manager with Lee Picton. They were both very phlegmatic and quiet on the sidelines generally. Graham was really, I guess the pressure was telling because, of course, it was promotion or bust. But yeah, he had South Shields second, and he relieved him of his duties. Some of the players that he brought in just didn't cut the mustard, and it didn't go down well with some supporters. It went down great with others, but hey, no one's safe, Trev. No one's safe in football.
No, it's just a bit of a funny one, isn't it? I think where you're not, you know, you're, you know, doing what. But then I've seen, you know, Steve McKinnon at Tunbridge did as he was asked two years ago, I think it was, and got sacked at the end of the season.
What do you have to do? I suppose only the manager who loses his or her job can tell you the truth. But maybe behind the scenes, they've been given like targets. And if they're not meeting their targets, then they're out. It's like any job.
Hmm.
If you're not hitting your targets, you're out on your ears. So maybe, you know, obviously Graham Fenton had South Shields second, but didn't look like we were going to have the tools to get promoted. So that was the target, and Jeff made the decision to relieve him. I think maybe on this occasion, he hasn't reached that. The only thing I can think of is he hasn't reached the targets that the hierarchy set. Other than that, if you're on the cusp of the playoffs, what else can you do?
Yeah, and second in the Western League, I don't know what much more you can ask for being top.
Yeah. Maybe the chairman wanted them to be in second place a bit better. Who knows? Bizarre.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely nothing.
Very, very, very strange. But you know, that's like we say, that's football, isn't it? No one's safe anywhere, are they?
They're not. But what I would say is that, you know, the lad who lost his job last week, he's now available. He's, you know, he's got his side in a reasonable position. I'm sure he'll get a job soon enough. If he's done a good job at Folkestone, why can't he do a good job elsewhere?
That's right. Well, it's the only job as well where you can be absolutely awful somewhere and end up with a cracking job somewhere else 2 weeks later, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. And it's a result-driven business as well. So you could play a dreadful 90 minutes and come away with a 1-0 win, and your manager's, you know, or you can, like Hugo mentioned, you know, the Aldershot need to score more. You could end up in a 5-4, you know, dramatic game, end up losing, but it's been a fantastic spectacle, and but you've lost.
Yeah, and that doesn't go up down well in the boardroom, does it?
It doesn't. Yet I watch football to be entertained. So if I was living down near Aldershot and I knew there was going to be a good chance of a 4-3 or a 5-4 or a 7-4, I'd pay to go and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is what we all go to football for, isn't it? To be entertained
Absolutely.
and go home having enjoyed it sometimes. Sometimes even if you've lost, if you feel you've been entertained with what you've seen on the pitch, it isn't quite so bad. You can stomach a little bit of that than the, you know,
Course you can.
having been bored to the concourse to watch Sky
Course.
Sports instead.
Yeah.
What is that? Now, I'm going to move on to Chris's favourite competition, the FA Trophy, which takes place again just before we record again. And who would you have had, Chris, if you'd have got through?
Chesterfield.
Chesterfield, that's it. So, did you dodge a bullet or would you have liked to have gone and pit your wits against them?
Dodged a bullet
You think?
because to me it's almost worthless. You know, South Shields went to Southport, and I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I might be completely wrong, I don't know, but the talk before the game when Shields went to Southport was that they were going to go with a strong team, they're going to get everything and try and have a big run in the competition. I think that was a smoke screen. I don't believe that any intention of getting any further in that competition. South Shields got £1,000 prize money for being defeated in that game. It probably just about covered the coach cost, you know. I think Southport got something like £3,000 to £4,000. Now they've got to go to Chesterfield and, you know, probably lose. And when they could also have perhaps got another league game in. I know it's a free week in the National League North and South, but no, to me, it's just worthless. Prize money is going to have to be improved to make it more worthwhile for more clubs. Unless you are, so if you are a club, even at this early stage of a season, if you are fighting for promotion or a championship, or you are fighting relegation, this is something that you could do without, because there's no incentive to do well. It's this competition at the moment, the way I see it, is earmarked for clubs who are mid-table, not going to go down, but not going to go up, might just touch playoffs perhaps, but it's give it that's what it's it, it's an ideal opportunity for those clubs to have a good run. And that shouldn't be the case, in my view.
What do you think would reinvigorate it as a competition?
Well, better prize money for a start. And again, this some people out there might think I'm being sexist, and I'm not, for a good reason. But at the moment, roughly, so the Women's FA Cup, I think the prize money is nine times bigger than what it is for the FA Trophy. Now, of course, the women's game is a professional game. We're talking women's professional top flight and championship football. That's fine. But also, the FA Trophy is the cream of non-league. So therefore, the cream of non-league, and if you're talking National League, you're talking league, you know, this is League Three in all but name. I think the prize money should be better to give teams a little bit more for the effort they put in. It's like, I remember in the Northern Premier League, their League Cup competition, clubs weren't bothered about it because it was costing them to play games. The prize money was so pitiful. But why bother? And it hasn't been, in fact, it hasn't been resurrected since COVID. So I think the FA Trophy could be in danger of becoming not a non-entity, but a competition that is not what it was meant to be, which was a good knockout cup competition for the cream of non-league football.
I think as well, you know, when I look at what Buildbase did, like marketing-wise, when they sponsored the FA Trophy and the Vase for quite a number of years, didn't they?
Yes.
The difference in what Isuzu have done, well, I've not seen anything.
What have they done? I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Buildbase were excellent. I remember in the run-up, you know, when South Shields were in their Vase run in 2016-17, Buildbase did a lot. There was a lot, and then the pre-match, there was pre-match like photo shoots and all sorts of stuff that you would see before a showpiece final, whether that was the FA Cup, League Cup, Champions League, proper press releases, photographs, all sorts. And to me, they did it properly. Yeah, I agree with you. What have Isuzu done? They certainly haven't improved the trophy. That is a fact.
Yeah, they haven't caught my attention. I mean, I normally when I talk about it, tweet about it, whatever, I forget to put the Isuzu in the front of it.
Yeah.
You know, Buildbase had a proper, FA, you know, Twitter account as well for it.
Yeah, they did that. It was just you knew it was the Buildbase FA Vase or FA Trophy. You knew. To be honest, I'm going to be honest with you, really honest. You've just reminded me that it actually is Isuzu who sponsored it, because I didn't really realise.
Yeah.
That just goes to prove your point. It's a shame, because the competition could be so much better. And I know, I mean, you guys went deep last year, but like I said before, Halifax last year it's still this calendar year, you know, for going all the way and winning the FA Trophy, they got roughly £20,000 more than South Shields got for winning the Vase 7 years previously. And that can't be right. It just can't be.
No, I quite agree. And as you said, Barnet did go deep in it last year. We faced Maidstone United last year away from home, and this year we've got them in the third round at home this time. But just looking through the southern section, and I'm just having a squiz.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
At the north as well. There are a few clubs from below step one and two that have made their way to the third round. I think we've got obviously Macclesfield Town have got a tough away tie at Curzon. Probably Scunthorpe, Solihull, the draw of the round, I think, for the northern side.
I think Solihull have got a job on their hands there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great tie for Mickleover away to Oldham.
Brilliant. I mean, Mickleover are having such a great season. I believe you mentioned there, you know, Curzon Ashton. We'll go on to them shortly when we talk about South Shields. Curzon are no mean team either. They're a great side.
Yeah, doing very well. And City of Liverpool hosting Hartlepool United.
What a great... That's
fantastic.
Yeah, that's what these competitions should be about.
Yeah.
We don't say it enough.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. Then in the southern section, Horsham against AFC Tottenham. So I think they're both step three. So there'll be a one step three side in the south. Hampton and Richmond, who knocked out Cray Valley 2 weeks ago, have got a lovely trip to Southend. And who else has got South Park Reigate away to Hereford?
Oh, that's a tough one. Tough.
Frome's reward for knocking out Worthing is home to Torquay United. beautiful. But yeah, there's some lovely ties in there.
Some lovely clubs. Ties, but again, you know, we are trying to boost non-league football with what we do with podcasts, etc., etc. The least the sponsor could do was the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Come on. What I picked up on earlier, something I saw actually during the week in another blog post, and you know, you've said time and again, Chris, that the competition doesn't quite sit right because you've got clubs that step forward that literally have got no chance to get all the way through to the final or anything like that, and then there's clubs obviously at our level that are looking at the Football League being more important themselves, and may say, you know, sides in the National South as well are looking at promotion to the National League and everything. Someone suggested, what about an FA Shield competition? So for those step three and four clubs. Yeah. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that would solve what Chris is saying. But, and there were more buts in my mind than there were solving it. It was like, where's it going to fit? Because of the amount of league games and cup games already. Yeah. Obviously, these guys wouldn't be in the FA Trophy. It'd be their own like competition. But then, where's the final going to fit? Because obviously, we have non-league finals day for the trophy in the VARs. You couldn't fit a third game in that if you're playing at 10 o'clock in the morning. And is it going to create as much enthusiasm and attendance wise, or would it just end up costing clubs money?
To me, it's going to sound easy enough just saying it, but and it's more to it than that. But it's the Premier non-league knockout competition, so therefore it should have similar kudos to the FA Cup. It's the non-league FA Cup. So what do non-league teams try to do? They try to get to the first round proper of the FA Cup. That's where the money is and the television and everything. I'm not suggesting the FA Trophy gets huge television money. I'm not. But this could be pro rata, pound for pound, some incentive for clubs from the steps below to get to either the first round or the third round proper of the FA Trophy. So you're going to get a potential of a big game. And so therefore, to me, you have to improve the prize money. You have to. And I think also the marketing, like we've said, Isuzu have been dreadful. But obviously, it's a difficult world we live in, and a lot of businesses haven't got the spare cash that they used to be able to sponsor competition. So it's easy for us to sit here and say it, but the FA, it's incumbent on them to protect the game. And they need somehow to make the FA Trophy the blue ribbon of the non-league game. Like the FA Cup is for us, as we try to get the first round proper every year, try and do that, something similar with the FA Trophy. And to start it, market it, and better prize money.
Do you think regionalising it all the way through to the semi-finals would help as well? Cuts down on that travelling and cost?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. I think certainly to the last 16.
Yeah.
It's last 16. I think any further than that, well, because if you regionalise it to the last 16, clubs will have, hopefully, touch wood, have made some reasonable money.
Yeah,
to cover costs to go further around the country. You look at in 2017, South Shields went down to Solent in the VARs, Halls Hill. So there were some journeys there. I think the last 16, so regionalise it to the last 16, I think that would, again, it's a, you want to try and pit your wits against, if you're going to get to the last 16, you've got it in you to go all the way. And now pit your wits against clubs from the other parts of the country.
Do you think as well it might help if, like, I mean, I was just in the past with the FA Cup being pre-drawn as well. So if the trophy was along the same lines as that, so the National League top clubs couldn't draw each other, they were, you know, they were going to get guaranteed to play someone a bit lower down.
Yeah, so what they do in the World Snooker Championships, you know, the top 16 in snooker, you know, they want the 16, and then the other 16 qualifiers are drawn to play one of them. You know, and you still get your upsets in the World Snooker. Why not do that in the FA Trophy? You've got your 24 National League clubs. And then what you do is, if you perhaps draw the games and then draw who's at home, or do 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, all of the there at home, and then 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 are away, something like that. Just to,
just to try and be reinvigorated a little bit more, I think.
It's stagnant, and South Shields have been entering the FA Trophy now since 2017, and it's certainly not the competition it used to be.
I'd agree with that. Right, just before we move on to our roundup of the clubs, and give a couple of points out that I found during the day, actually, just before I recorded, and during the weekend. Farnham Town, who are in the FA Vars this weekend, are the only side with 100% record still left in the country. Seeing us 13 wins out of 13 in the combined counties. South holding off Knaphill and Jersey Bulls at the moment, but tough ask to do a league and cup double, to be fair, at that level, to win both anyway. I mean, a few sides have managed to get there and get to Wembley, but big ask, isn't it?
Huge. And if they're going to keep winning, they're going to be going longer in other competitions, which just adds to the backlog of fixtures. But keep it going as long as you can. You just try to keep it going, and it might not be 100% records, but you try and stay unbeaten if you can. You don't get anywhere without trying.
No, absolutely. And then National League Rochdale on Monday, not paid full wages to their staff for November. 25% each player and staff got for November, month before Christmas, Chris.
That's poor. Really poor. And again, it smacks of football ownership not actually reading the room, not knowing really what they're getting into, not knowing the game. Owners making clubs sort of like hobbies, which I suppose any owner, it's got to be a hobby, because you're not going to make any money out of football, so it has to be a hobby. But that's poor. I wasn't aware of that, Trev, and that's very disappointing.
That literally only came out a few hours before we recorded. Yeah. So, but apparently there is an imminent takeover. But as we've seen with Southend, Scunthorpe, these things don't go swimmingly, do they?
You know, and you know, I've got to say, Scunthorpe, they're getting there. Scunthorpe are getting there, but they're not out of the woods yet. They've still got bills to pay and redundancies to pay, and it just goes on and on and on. And Rochdale, you just don't want to see it happening again, but it will. We knew it. We know it's going to happen. We know, but it's just when it does happen, it's so gut-wrenching, really. I just feel for the players and staff, you know. Just before Christmas. Stinks.
And especially they're not having a bad campaign so far. I was sitting just outside the playoffs as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wasn't there. That's disappointing, Trev.
It is, isn't it? And must mention, Nuneaton Borough have been taken over.
Yes.
Unconfirmed reports, because I haven't had the time to be able to delve back into it, but it appears that one David Hilton, ex of Scunthorpe United and Ilkeston, now under the name again of David Anderson, is part of the three-man consortium that's taken over. That's unconfirmed, because I haven't been able to delve in enough, but I've seen Scunthorpe fans asking how many alias names he has, and that one came up amongst the three or four. So I'll be keeping my eye on that, but that just looks like frying pan into the fire, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Poor Nuneaton. If that is the case, you know, you reap what you sow, and that would be criminal if that's it. Well, I use the word criminal. I better watch my language. you're spoiling the night now.
Well, you know, I just thought, do you know what? I actually had written it down, but it just suddenly come to my mind. And I thought, oh, because we mentioned, obviously, Nuneaton when we recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I saw their statement saying, you know, the takeover and everything, but I wasn't aware of this.
Well, no, I wasn't, because I was like, oh, great. And then I saw it on that, because obviously I've got a few Scunthorpe fans followed me for highlighting their plight and everything. So it just came up, and I had a quick look into it, and I was like, no, don't tell me it is. But I haven't had the chance to look into it. But maybe I will try and get that done this week, and I'll post on our Twitter page if I manage to find out what it is.
The problem you get is that when you are a supporter of a football club who is in such dire straits, and you get an just an ounce of opportunity, you know, to say, look, we've got the takeover, you'll end up, you think, well, we'll just take it. And then it's only when everything comes to pass that you think, I wish we hadn't. But good luck to Nuneaton, you know, such a rich history in the non-league game.
Yeah. I think, if I remember rightly, Chris, the first non-league game I saw at Maidstone was a 2-0 win against Nuneaton Borough.
Yeah. As a kid growing up, you know, I followed Sunderland, followed South Shields, did a little bit with watch Gateshead, and we always, you know, you look at the conferences it was, and Wealdstone, Maidstone, Nuneaton. There was all Barnet, of course,
in those days,
Stan the Man, and all these clubs that to me are just history, non-league history. It would be so cruel if these types of clubs went out of business. And yes, there probably would be a Phoenix, but we should never have to come to that.
No, we shouldn't.
Good luck, Nuneaton.
Very much so. Anyway, we'll get that looked into as well. But right, onto our three clubs with the two of us, which will make interesting an interesting debate. We'll start with you up with Shields, Chris.
Yeah.
No wins or goals in the last two games.
No.
What's happened?
Hit the buffers a little bit. We've lost our unbeaten home record. We conceded on Saturday for the first time in 963 minutes, I think.
Oh, wow.
It was.
Brilliant.
We hadn't conceded at home since the first day of the season.
Yeah.
And it was a scruffy goal from a corner. It was an avoidable goal, but Chester got the goal, and then just, they were already sat in. I mean, it was just they played a bank of five and a bank of four, and made it very, very difficult. They got a goal and then held on to it. Shields could have played until tonight, even now, and they still wouldn't have scored. I interviewed Julio Arca after the game for Shields YouTube, and I interviewed one of the players, Michael Woods, and I'd said to him, you know, two goals in four home games, and I asked them what their thoughts were. You know, is that a worry? To me, it is, because we've become in the last couple of, well, three or four home games, very one-dimensional, very samey. So, in a way, maybe we've needed this. We've had a bad week. You know, you lose at Southport in the trophy. You get a 0-0 draw against Curzon Ashton at home. And then you lose to Chester. Maybe this is something that we've needed to just reboot, reset, and go again, because we're in third place. One thing I will say is, though, we played Curzon Ashton on Tuesday night. They were magnificent. Curzon Ashton, the best team I've seen in the National League North that I've seen. And I watched Shields away to Scunthorpe. But to me, Curzon were better. I thought they were excellent. The football they played, the pace, dynamism, speed of thought, quickness of movement, thought, feet, everything. They just, well, to me, it might sound a bit OTT, but they almost schooled Shields on the night. So Shields, of course, were known for their football. But Curzon Ashton were brilliant, and I'd pay to watch them every week. I really would.
Well, I mean, they've got the best away record in the North.
Curzon. Yeah, and they've got, and in Sinclair and Molls in the middle, two dynamic midfielders. Molls did the same to us last year when he was at Warrington. Stefan Molls, two great little players. And yeah, it was great to watch. It was that game against Curzon, we were saying amongst our group where we stand in the ground, you know, these are the types of games we got promoted for. We wanted this type of game because Curzon came at us and it made for a great spectacle. And Curzon were the better team on the night. And, you know, Shields were very lucky to come away with a point. It was a point gained rather than two lost.
Do you think the games have just come a little bit thick and fast at the moment that it's caught up a little
bit? Perhaps because we've had some injuries. Got two lads out on loan at, well, we've got three out on loan at the, well, there's more, but in terms of the first team squad, there's three out on loan, one of whom should be playing, in my view, Will Jenkins, who is tearing up the Northern Premier League on loan at Morpeth. Sam Hodgson's there getting goals, but Will is tearing up midfields in the Northern Premier League, and we could do with him because we've lost a bit of dynamism in the middle. One or two niggles, one or two injuries, and a lack of pace. Seem to have nothing in midfield at the moment, which is very surprising. Plus, also, I'm not so sure Julio and Tommy are getting their selections right. Don't know what's going on, but John Lafudu, the right back, who was our most potent attacking weapon, has been on the bench. He was injured, so he got suspended, and then he was brought back, and then he's been on the bench. And he was on the bench again on Saturday, and it didn't work. And that, fair play to Julio, he changed it at half time. Trying to play square pegs in round holes doesn't work, but no, it is what it is. We're still in third. If you'd given us that in July, we would have taken your hand off, probably said you were stupid. But now on reflection, it could have been so much better. But at least we've still got 20 odd games to go. I'd like to see us perhaps bring one of those lads back from loan. I'd love to see Mark Beck in a South Shields shirt. Local lad, he's at Solihull Moors.
No, I don't like him.
No, you don't like him. I like him. And I like his family. He's got a good family, Trev. His family are lovely. And I'd like to see him in a Shield shirt. I think he'll give us a new dimension. I think we're lacking just a little bit of strength. And we said it last year as well. Yeah, we won the league eventually. But this is a better league this year.
I think, though, yourself, me, Pete and James would all agree that if all three of us were offered where we are now, Worthing, possibly their position's a bit false because they've got so many games in hand. They could.
Yeah, they've got two in hand.
Yeah, three on some. You know, if people have offered us that at the start of the season, all three of us, we'd have gone, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Of course, obviously, Dean's got your lads playing really, really well. I know one or two results haven't gone your way in the last week or so, but...
Yeah, one or four.
One or four, well... Beggars can't be choosers.
Let's not split hairs.
No, I haven't got any to split. three sides who are, roughly where they deserve to be, I think. Not having seen much of Barnet or Worthing, for what I have seen, well organised, doing okay. I think all three have probably just hit a buffer, if that makes sense. It's a long season. It's such a it feels so short when you look back. You get to an end of the season, you think, blimmin' heck, that was August when we played that game. But when you're actually in the middle of it, it's a long season. And a week, and people, it's a cliche, but a week is a long time in football. You know, a week before, South Shields had hammered Spennymoor 5-2, and you know, everybody was up. It's amazing what can happen in 7 to 10 days.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think just before we move on to the south, we'll give Gloucester a shout out for thumping Spennymoor 4-2.
Well, that's a vital result.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah.
Well, no, Spennymoor. Although I will say this, defensively, Spennymoor look weak. Looked very, very poor defensively against South Shields. Shields could and should have scored probably about 8 or 9 on the night. That wouldn't have been over-egging it. Gloucester have had a rough, tough time. They've gone from full time to part time. They're playing in National League North when really they shouldn't be, like Bishop Stortford, et cetera, Hereford, you know. But it is what it is. So that's a massive, massive shot in the arm for Gloucester because Spennymoor, up until 2-3 weeks ago, were riding high and playing some good football. But having watched them defensively, they are very susceptible to certain types of attack. And you can get beyond them, you can get around them on the flanks and get in behind very easily. It looks like Gloucester did that on Saturday. The league is starting to take shape now. You know, Blythe are dropping down the table. I'm sure Graham Fenton was, I haven't heard the interview, but I've been told that one of his interviews post-match recently that he needs new players. Unfortunately, one or two players who he signed again have let him down. One of them is Hooper, the Blythe fans have finally worked him out. They were warned. So Blythe are starting to go down. Farsley have picked up some good results recently. So the league is just starting to take shape. And therefore, that was a massive shot in the arm for Gloucester, because they could easily have found themselves adrift if they weren't careful.
I was going to say, just looking at both tables at the moment, there's such an imbalance of games played, though, for everyone in the north and the south. That it's difficult to see. I mean, like Chester sitting in mid-table-ish, only played 17, 3 points off the playoffs, win three games in hand, and all of a sudden they're sitting level with you.
I thought Chester were limited, if I'm honest. Well-organised, very, very well-organised. Strong defensively, but limited, to me, look limited in attack.
Yeah.
So if they are going to try, they might try and spoil their way to the playoffs, perhaps, which is, hey, if they are the tools you have, you've got to use them. So they might do it, but there are better footballing teams than them in the division, and quite a few of them.
We'll move on to Worthing, who seem to have come out of their mini slump with a draw and a win during their last two games. As we said, mentioned a bit earlier, they've got two or three games in hand. But just as the North is tight, when you go anywhere from about fifth down to about 16th, 17th in your division, it's no different in the South. It's just so compact. And I think having all these games in such a close space together for both of you, sides are just beating each other.
Yeah, and that will continue. I mean, there is a break now. So between, I say a break, I mean, Worthing have got to catch up. But South Shields now have no more midweek games until the end of January. And one of those, it might, I'm not going to, there's rumour that we've got Farsley Celtic away on a Tuesday night, late January or early February. There's talk that they might bring that game forward to the FA Trophy Day, because both teams are out of the trophy.
Okay, yeah.
Because then it will be Saturday, 3 o'clock. Better chance, better for everybody concerned, apart from the Shields players. One or two probably wouldn't be able to get back in time, fitness-wise. But from a club perspective, might be good sense. So it's a chance now to get good training sessions in, really work on a lot of different things, and it might just help the teams who have that quality but have just had that quality taken out of them with tiredness. People say, oh, the professional footballers, they shouldn't be tired. Well, they should, really, because you're putting a 90-minute, you're running normally a minimum of 10 kilometres over 90 minutes at different speeds. You're bound to get fatigued. So, yeah. The leagues are just starting to take shape. Saying, don't look at leagues till Christmas. It's probably right, I think, on this occasion.
I think, I don't think you're wrong there. I was just going to pick out a couple from the from South at the weekend. Tunbridge Hammers haven't 4-1, which I think that makes them 10 unbeaten. And they've pushed themselves right onto the edge of the playoffs. I've played a few more games than everyone else, but it seems Jay Saunders has got his team just about right. I saw them last Tuesday evening take on Averley, who were up in second, and was a thoroughly entertaining game. It was a 1-1 draw, which is probably the right result in the end. Although Averley's first shot on goal was a penalty in the 43rd minute, which put them 1-0 up. All Tunbridge before that. Averley tried to close out the second half, but Tunbridge equalised about midway through, and after that, either side could have done it. But they are right on a good run. And I think the most surprising result of the weekend was third from bottom Welling thumping Yeovil 4-1, which I never saw coming.
But I guess, if Yeovil have turned up thinking we're going to do this, you are automatically 1% off giving 100%. And that's, I'll go back to what I said about South Shields in the FA Trophy earlier. There's no way they were 100% at Southport. There's no way a South Shields team at Southport giving 100% would ship four goals. Right. Not against that Southport team. So it looks like Yeovil just weren't quite at the races.
No, they took the lead as well.
Yeah.
Which was even worse.
And again, took a lead and probably then went down to 98% instead of
99%. Yeah. And I'm just going to pick out the bottom of the table clash coming up this Saturday. Haven't 6 points from 19. Host Dover with 12 points from 20. Dover are 7 points adrift of Welling and Truro just above them in the zone. That's a massive game for either of those two sides. And even should Dover win it, they're still going to be 4 points behind, having played more games than the two above.
Yeah. It's a proverbial six-pointer, isn't it, really? And generally, when you get these six-pointers, they normally end in draws.
Mm.
And neither get any benefit.
No.
Don't think I'll lose any sleep over Dover struggling, if I'm honest.
I don't think Pete will either, but...
Pete won't. No, I'm going to big Pete up, because he's not yet, and he hasn't been very well, so I'm going to say that for him.
And then before we move on to anything else and wrap it up, we'll talk about Barnet. And four defeats in a row, we've gone from being 3 points behind Chesterfield a month ago to now third from bottom in the form guide, having shipped 14 in the last six games. So
I was looking at you guys on the telly on TNT. Mm. And I saw, you got your equaliser. And then I thought, oh, well. And then I watched another 10 minutes or so. And then I had to do something. And then I went back. 4-1? What happened?
Well, we went, before we played Gateshead the Saturday prior, we'd gone 203 days without losing at home. Mm-hmm. And then in the space of 4 days, like London buses, we lose two in a row. I didn't go to the Gateshead game. Apparently, absolutely outplayed us. Best side we've played, said everybody, best than Chesterfield. And that's the general consensus whenever you speak to anybody about Gateshead. Funny enough, Chesterfield's one game in hand is at home to Gateshead. So that should be an absolute stormer. Oldham last year was horrendous. Absolutely, probably the worst game I saw us play last year at home, and this year was, I suppose, bizarre in a way, because we controlled it for the first 25 minutes, but I didn't get a sniff of the ball. Had a couple of good chances before they scored. Laurie made a horrendous hash of a mistake, gave away the penalty, and that actually put a spring in their step. And ours didn't recover even after we equalised just before the hour mark. We went back into ourselves again, but we still, created enough chances to have got something out of the game. People are losing their marbles a little bit because we'd lost three in a row by that point. We lost again at the weekend to Wealdstone, having been 2-1 up at half time, and losing to your local, rivals. They see it as a massive great rivalry. We see it as one game out of 46 that we play.
Yeah.
But you still don't want to lose. So there isn't panic from Dean. There isn't panic from Connor, his assistant. I spoke to both of them last week before the game on Saturday, and I wrote a piece last week as well. Teams go through blips. Ours is quite bizarre because it's almost mirroring exactly the same time last year. And then we went on a 3-month unbeaten run where we couldn't concede, we couldn't lose if we tried.
Yeah.
Something isn't quite right. Not quite sure what it is, but it's we're, again, as we said about 20 minutes ago, that all of us would have taken our positions where we are this year, worthy maybe a place or two higher. But we're punching against some budgets that are ridiculous against what we've got. And I know budgets are always a contentious thing as well, but there are definitely clubs with much bigger budgets than what we've got.
Well, just a field trip. It's promotion or bust.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, we've now got a 2 week break. Newport away in the FA Cup next Saturday, and then we've got Maidstone at home in the FA Trophy. So we don't take to the National League field and until the 12th of December when we host Dagenham, who we should have played this weekend. So you know, hopefully two full weeks as well of training. There's no midweek games in between. You know, it might make a big difference. But you know, at the end of the day, no one's got a divine right to win any game of football. You have to earn that right every time you step on the pitch. And I think a few of ours have got, actually this season, and because we won a lot of games last year, they've got too used to winning that when we do lose games, they seem to think we shouldn't be losing games. But the fickle nature of a football fan, isn't it?
It is. I find myself being slightly fickle at times. I look back to Saturday and I was getting myself wound up during the game. And then in hindsight, I think, nah, wasn't that bad. We should have won. We should have done better. But we're trying to find perfection. And and why you strive for excellence and strive for being the perfect, you're never going to get there. I just think that there's definitely, I think all three clubs have hit the buffers a little bit, but it's a long enough season where you can regroup, reassess, see where your strengths and weaknesses lie. Where can we get? Can we bring someone in to plug that gap that we think is there? It's been a good season so far.
Yeah, I think the only thing that disappointed me on Wednesday night, because obviously, you know, it's normally a Tuesday, was just the fact that Oldham didn't have to work for any of their four goals. They were so easy. And then to see Oldham get thumped 4-1 by Ebbsfleet with their first win, I think, in about 15 at the weekend, you just think that was pointless them taking the 3 points almost.
It is. And it reaffirms the fact that if, like you said last season, Barnet went on a 2-3 months unbeaten run. If you can get some momentum, I mean, I look at South Shields' next five fixtures. They're all very winnable. We've got some travel to do. We're at Bishop Stortford on Saturday. But that's an overnight stay for the players, so the coach journey shouldn't come into it. Peterborough Sports at home, away to Rushall, Blyth Spartans home and away over the Christmas and New Year. These are winnable fixtures. It only needs two or three of those consecutive victories for people to just shut up, and all of a sudden you're back in the right back in the hunt, or you're probably going to go top because everybody else beats everybody else.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just the way it goes, isn't it? But as Dean said, we dust ourselves down, move on to the next one. It's gone and dusted, and it's almost gone and dusted for us. Where are you off to this week, Chris? No midweek game this week for you, is there?
No midweek, and Shields away to Bishop Stortford. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, so it'll be on the National League TV at 1 o'clock. So I shall be watching South Shields away to Bishop Stortford on National League TV.
Didn't fancy a trip down to Essex then?
No. I'm going down to London in a few weeks for the World Darts, so I thought, I'll give this one a miss.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. Well, I think I've...
Wait, what are you doing?
Tuesday night, which would have passed by the time the pod comes out, but I think the consensus might be Worthing versus Littlehampton in the Sussex Senior Cup. Although I'm leaning more towards Stelling against Hassocks, because I think, if I grab the paper quickly, it's something like fifth against... fifth against third. Yeah, fifth against third in the Southern Combination Premier Division. So I'm leaning a bit towards that. Either way, both games on plastic, so there's no chance of it being off. And Saturday, I shall be going nowhere but London because I'm away for my birthday.
Very happy birthday in advance, Trev.
Thank you very much. So
I shall think of you the weekend whilst I'm enjoying watching the football on National League TV with the beer.
Yeah.
But it's a football fest at the weekend because I know we're non-league, but we've got, I think Sunderland will be on at 3 o'clock. And then there's two TV games, two televised games at 5:30 and 8 o'clock. So it's a feast of football.
Brilliant stuff. Sounds absolutely ideal. And I'll definitely be back to it a week on Tuesday as well. So everyone, thanks for listening and tuning in. Next time we record, you might be able to hear more than two voices. But hopefully you've enjoyed this one, and the dynamic's been that little bit different with just a couple. And obviously our thanks to Hugo Langton as well, yeah, from Aldershot for joining us earlier in the show. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.